As I was meditating, and the Lord just gave me some revelation. I don't know if I can teach it fully because it's a little bit of a strong meat. Amen. And I don't want anyone to choke tonight, so I may not be able to really give the fullness of it. I need to figure out a way to you know, when you're cutting up meat for, I'm not saying your babies, but you understand, you gotta make sure that nobody chokes on it, so you put it through the blender a little bit. Amen. So I'm gonna teach what of it I can tonight. Amen. And it's called counting the cost. Counting the cost. Amen. And the last time I taught it, I taught about how much it's going to cost you to be a Christian. Now, salvation is free, but I did it again. I'm stuck in 2019. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll have to move on from that. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. Jesus told this story. He said, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" We're so glad to see Sister Deborah and Joy out. Amen. They made it out. "Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" Amen. So that's the basis of the Bible study tonight, is counting the cost. Jesus said that before we go into some things, we have to have a made-up mind, determined that we're going to pay what it costs. Do you understand what I'm saying? To be a Christian, to serve God, you're going to have a determination, a made-up mind. It is going to cost you something. It may cost you some friends. It may cost you some places you can't go. It may cost you some finances. And tonight, I want to look at it in a little bit different light about counting the cost. Now, we know that salvation is paid in full. John 19:30, when Jesus had therefore received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now that word there in the Greek, telestai, is a word that they would put on a bill when you had paid it up, when you had made your last payment. You ever been and taken something and they put paid in full? Doesn't that feel good when they stamp it and you get it back and you know you've paid it off? That's it. That's the last payment. Amen. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So we know that salvation is paid in full. We know that. But there is a cost to following Jesus. He told us that. He told us that if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to take up your own cross. You're going to have to deny yourself. That means what you want to do. Like maybe tonight most of you wanted to just stay home. Didn't that thought cross your mind? It was nice and warm. It's kind of cold outside. And maybe you got a little bit of the sniffles. But you push through to come out tonight. Amen. And that's what it takes. It's going to cost you something to be a Christian. But there's two things I want to reveal tonight about the cost that maybe you had never thought about. And this is the part of the revelation I'm kind of struggling with as to how to teach it. There's some notes there that you can look up after. But I'm going to get to the crux of my study tonight because I'm going to run out of time. We see in the book of Mark, it tells the story of two of his disciples who came up to Jesus and they wanted something from Jesus. They said unto him, "Grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy glory." Ooh, who doesn't want to sit at Jesus' right hand? Come on now, be honest. Wouldn't you want to sit at Jesus' right hand or his left hand? What an honor. What a privilege, because that's such a special place. But Jesus said unto them, he said, "You don't know what you're asking for. you really don't understand what it is you're asking me for. Then he asked them a question. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of? And what he meant by that, can you go through what I'm about to go through? And that's the question tonight. If you want to sit at Jesus' right or left hand, you're going to have to go through what Jesus went through. Now, think about, before you say yes, what Jesus went through. If you want to sit that close to Jesus, you're going to have a made-up mind to pay the cost. And he goes on to say, can you drink the cup that I drink of? Remember, when he went into the garden, he said, I don't even want to drink of this cup. If it be possible, Father, take this cup from me. Jesus didn't want to drink of the cup. He didn't want to have to deal with what was in front of him. But he had a made-up mind. He said, for this cause came I into the world. And what I want to explain tonight is some of the reasons why we don't get our prayers answered. I said this was linked to prayer, paying the cost. And there's two ways it's linked, and I will try and give you a little bit of the revelation how. But the key part of this is what Jesus told them when they asked him to sit on his right hand or on his left hand. He said, you don't know what you're asking for. You don't understand what it's going to cost you. Amen. Now, when you pray, you ever say, what is this going to cost me? I don't. I just ask. I just ask because we've been told it's all free. And it is all free. Salvation is free. Salvation is definitely free. But what you're asking for is not salvation most of the time. You're asking for something. You're asking for stuff. You're not really asking for salvation. Come on now. You're asking for stuff. And this is the point. Salvation is free. But there is a cost in following Jesus. And we're going to look at that. We're going to look at this in a little bit more detail. In Luke 12, verse 48, Jesus is speaking about some costs. And he says this. He's speaking about people who had done wrong to the master. The master had left the servant in charge. And in one case, he beat all his fellow servants. And Jesus goes on to say, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes, in other words, of punishment, shall be beaten, but did not know, you know, if he made a mistake and didn't know, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whom much is given, of him shall be much required. Now, when we hear that phrase, of whom much is given, much is required, we think of it in terms of, okay, God has blessed me with finances, so I'm to bless other people with finances. But, and that may be part of the interpretation, but I think there's actually more to it than that, and I'm going to bring that out. Jesus then went on to say, I am come to send fire. Now, why did he suddenly go from to whom much is given, much is required, and then he goes on to say, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with. Here's that phrase that he told the two disciples, asking them, you want glory? You want to sit in my glory? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I am going to be baptized? And listen to it. I know in the King James it doesn't really bring it out, but it says, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? What does it mean in English? Well, I'll put it down there in the NLT. It says, I have a baptism of suffering ahead of me, and I'm under a heavy burden until it's accomplished. He came to suffer. He came to die. Yes, there was going to be the glory of the resurrection. But before the resurrection, there is the cross. Amen. Before the resurrection, there is a crucifixion. There is a cross. And I don't think a lot of us have really counted the cost, because when we pray and ask God for things, we only think of the benefits. We don't think of what will happen if God gives it to us. Let me give you an example. Suppose someone in here is blind, and we all gather around and we pray, and they receive their sight. Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't that be tremendous? What would be the next thing that would happen? What do you think would happen? Pardon? I'm not talking necessarily the person, but say for our church, what do you think would happen? People would start coming in, yes. It may even be on the news. This person was born blind and now they see. But there would also come with that a whole bunch of people coming for the wrong reasons. You can expect that there would be people coming just to throw stones, so to speak. Maybe do worse than that. And so what I'm trying to tell you, God is asking you, are you ready to pay the cost? You want great miracles. You want prayer answered. But have you considered the cost? And I think that this is partially why we don't get some of our prayers answered, because we really haven't. That's what he told his disciples. He said, you don't really know what you're asking for. You want the glory, you want the blessing, you want the miracles. But can you follow me to the cross? Can you follow him to the cross? Are you prepared for all the attack of Satan that would come? Are you prepared for the whirlwind that would come to attack you? Can you be baptized with the baptism Jesus said that I'm going to be baptized with? Are you ready for that? And I think there's two types of people. There's some that are not really ready for that. There's some that think they're ready for that, just like the two disciples, and they said, we want to sit on your right hand and your left hand in your glory. And Jesus told them straight away, you don't know what you're asking for. But he looked into their future, and he said, yes, indeed, you're going to be back. And you know what happened to every single one of the disciples except one? They were martyred. Yes, they had the glory, but it was at a cost. You want the glory? You want the miracles? You want all these things to happen in your life? Can you count the costs? Let me look at three things here tonight. I'm going to talk about the cost of blessing. Who doesn't want blessing? We get salvation. That's paid for free. But there is a cost if you want the blessing. There is a cost if you want the power. And there is a cost if you want the glory. You're going to be real quiet tonight, but that's okay. I'm going to tell it like I received it. The word to bless means to bestow favor, to prosper, to give a gift. Who do you think? Name some woman in the Bible who was blessed. Come on, let's name some women in the Bible who the Bible says was blessed. All right, Mary. Let's look at Mary. The Bible says she was blessed. I mean, think about the millions, billions of women, and out of all of them, she was the one that was chosen for what? The Messiah. What a blessing. What an honor. But did you know it cost her something? It cost her something. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. Remember what blessing, the definition of blessing was? To favor, to prosper, to give a gift. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, meaning she is blessed. The Lord is with thee. So when you're asking for blessing, and you're asking for the Lord to be with you, I just want you to understand, are you prepared for the cost? Now, this is not a negative sermon. You're supposed to say, yes, I am. That's what you're supposed to say. You're supposed to say, absolutely. Now, maybe just like the two disciples, you don't know what you're saying. But they didn't care. They said, we're ready. So this is not meant to be negative. This is just meant to reveal to you so you understand that if you want these things, if you want the glory, if you want the answer, if you want the power, you want the blessing, there is a cost. And if you can accept the cost, then God will give it to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you are ready to count the cost and say, yes, Lord, I understand. Isn't that what Jesus said? You're going to have to take up your own cross and do what? Follow me. So the angel comes to her and says, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She was shocked, like this little 17-year-old girl, an angel coming to her and say, you're blessed. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. But there was a cost to that blessing. We don't know what happened to Joseph, but we know that by the time Jesus was 30, he's out of the picture. We assume in those days, lifetimes were much shorter. People died much earlier. But we know by the time that Jesus has started his ministry, he's out of the picture. She's a single mother. In fact, when on the eighth day she went to dedicate Jesus, the prophet told her that. Luke chapter 2, verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken again. Then he tells her the part we don't want to hear if we're blessed. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. I'm telling you, there was a cost to blessing. And the reason why a lot of us don't get beyond the first level is because we're not prepared to pay the cost. If we're really prepared to pay the cost, then the miracle, the glory, the blessing will be there. But when we really are looking at it, we think, and I'm talking to myself, because when it comes down to it, you know, it means you're going to have to step out. You're going to have to go into a place where it looks scary, where you're all by yourself, where the haters can pick up the stones, because there is a cost to blessing. Let me show you from the Old Testament that there was a cost to blessing. Genesis 27, 26. Jacob, at the time of Isaac's getting old, and Rebekah tells him, you know, you better go and get the blessing. And so he, you know, he deceives his father and he gets the blessing in Genesis 27, 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, and now he pronounces this amazing blessing on Jacob. God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. So then what happened after he got up? It was like Cinderella. He turned into gold and everything went beautiful for Jacob. Is that what happened? Oh no. Oh no. That's not what happened. He had to run for his life. There was a cost. And let me tell you, the greater the blessing, the greater the cost. The greater the blessing, this was a huge blessing. But you know what he paid with this? When he left home, he never saw his mother again. His mother died while he was 21 years running away. There was a cost to the blessing. Are you counting the cost? Have you got a made-up mind? Are you determined to see this thing to the end? Are you just following Jesus for the bread? That's what he told him. He said, you guys are just following me because I turned, fed you. But when the cross came, everybody left him. Everybody wants to sit by him when the miracles are happening, when the eyes are being opened, when the bread is being multiplied. But there is a cost to blessing. And because this blessing was so great, Jacob suffered. There was a cost. You know why? Because the moment the blessing was pronounced on him, who else heard about that? His brother. But who was really behind his brother? The devil. Don't you understand? The moment God starts to exalt you and bless you, you know who wants to take you down? You become a target. The moment you are going to step out for God and say, give me the blessing, use me, God, you do understand that you're going to be a target. Are you still willing to count the cost? Be quiet. I'm not trying. This is not meant to be negative tonight. But I want you to understand why when we pray, some of our prayers are not answered. It's because we really are not prepared to pay the cost. Because if God actually did the miracle you're asking for, something would happen, change. It may mean you have to do all kinds of different things. It means you have to give up all kinds of stuff. This blessing on Jacob was so big, but there was a big cost. He had to leave his family. He never saw his mother again. He had to go away for 21 years into exile. Let me show you another cost. I told you about the cost of blessing. What about the cost of power? What about how much does it cost for power? Well, let's see. In Genesis, you have Joseph, Jacob's son. In Genesis 37, verse 3, who doesn't want power with God? Come on now. When you say heal and everything just heals up, blinded eyes, there is a power with God. But what I'm trying to tell you is, are you prepared for the cost? Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. He had had Joseph with the wife that he had wanted at the beginning, late in life. And so he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, what happens? When God starts to favor you above the people around you, what do you think is going to happen? So when you ask God for blessing and to sit next to him, what do you think Satan is going to do? Of course. Of course. And that's the reason why God doesn't do it sometimes, because he knows you're not ready to handle it. You have not counted the cost. You are not really ready to go through that trial. You think you are. But just as he told his two disciples at the time, you don't know what you're asking for. So because the father favored him and blessed him with this coat, immediately that made him target number one. And then Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. God gives you revelation. If it's not directed for someone else, just keep it to yourself. God gave Joseph revelation, and the dream was that all his brethren would bow down to him. Now, that's not going to go over too well. That was not going to go over too well to tell his older brethren, you know, I got this dream and you're going to bow down to me. Human nature doesn't work that way. There is a cost to having power with God. Salvation is free, but if you're asking God, give me power, let me go and heal the sick, open blinded eyes, are you prepared for the cost, the hate, the attacks that are going to come against you, the doubters? Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood around and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. If you're asking God for power, God will grant it to you and grant you all these things, but be prepared for what the cost is. Be prepared for what the cost is. What was the cost? Let me tell you. They tried to kill him. In verse 20, they said, "Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." What I'm trying to tell you is you need a made-up, determined mind if you want to be used by God, if you want to be blessed by God, if you want to be delivered by God. You're going to have to understand that there is going to be a cost. And if you're prepared to pay the cost, God will do his part. But just like he told his disciples, "You want to sit on my left and my right hand? Can you follow me to the cross? Can you be baptized? Can you go through what I'm about to go through? Are you willing to die for me?" No, most people are not willing to live for him. Dying is out of the question. That's off the table. And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and his words. Do you know how long it took for those dreams to be fulfilled? He was about 17, 16. He was about 30. There was a cost. But because God always comes through, because God always honors his word, if you're prepared to pay the cost, you will obtain the prize. Amen. In Genesis 42, verse 6, "And Joseph was governor." Joseph was governor. He was prime minister of all of Egypt, over the whole land. And he it was that sold all the people of the land. He was the one in charge of giving out all the food. And Joseph's brethren came, and what did they do? They bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. You want power? You want power over the enemy so they bow down to you? It can happen, but there's going to be a cost. Jesus is asking tonight, can you be baptized with the baptism that I have been baptized? Are you willing to pay the cost? Are you willing to go through some suffering? Are you willing to have people spit on you? Are you willing to have people try and kill you? You willing to have people at your job get you fired? Are you willing where you lose your car? Are you willing to go through some things? Because there is a cost. And let me say it again. I really believe the reason why we do not see some of the things that were in the New Testament is because they were prepared to pay the cost. The Bible says in Revelation, they loved not their lives to the death. We, if it's cold out there, I'm not going to church tonight. But then we pray, "Lord, do this big miracle for me. Open blinded eyes." We want the blessing. We want the power. But we're not prepared to pay the cost. Joseph, brethren came and bowed themselves down. You know what it costs Joseph? Pain. Years of thinking about how his blood brethren tried to kill him. That's what it cost him. Genesis 43:30, "And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brethren, and he sought where to weep." I bet over the 15 or however many years it was, Joseph wept many times. The cost was he didn't see his father or his mother, in fact, his mother died. There was a cost to serving God. And the thing is, a lot of people think that they can get these things on the cheap. The what? Microwave, yes. No. No. There is a cost to the blessing. There is a cost to the power. This is the revelation I'm telling you tonight. We pray, we don't get it, we don't get it done. You know, have you told God you're prepared to pay the cost? All we think about is the blessing and the miracle. But have we said, whatever it takes, God? Whatever it takes, God? Whatever it takes. This 3 weeks is a time of consecration. Whatever it takes. Ooh, I don't know if I can do that. But Lord, give me the power. Let me lay hands on the sick and let them be healed. I've talked so far about the cost of blessing, and I gave Joseph as the cost of power. What about the cost of glory? Paul. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? At that point, Paul had been an enemy of the church. He was on his way to Damascus to kill Christians. He was way out there on the other side trying to destroy the church. But in this one instance, God showed him his glory and he said, What will you have me to do? When he understood who it was he was fighting and understood that there was going to be a penalty. You know what the penalty was? He lost his position. He was really high up on in the Sanhedrin. He was going to have to lose all his friends, all his buddies, all his position. Tonight God is asking, what will you have me do? He gave it all up to be the Apostle Paul. That's why he said, I, Paul, a servant. You want to have the revelation of Paul, the ministry of Paul, win millions, thousands to God? There's a cost to that glory. You want to preach before thousands? There's a cost to that. To be real. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, because he didn't know. He didn't know at that point what was going to be the cost. But he was willing to say, whatever it takes. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's what I'm talking about tonight. The cost of blessing, the cost of power, and the cost of glory. We all want those things with God. Lord, give me your power. Give me your blessing. But I realized that if God was to actually give it to us at the rate we want it, most of us could not handle it. Yeah, I could. No, you couldn't. I mean, he told them disciples, was it John and James, you don't know what you're asking for. You want to sit on my left and right hand in glory? You have no idea. Can you go through what I'm about to go through? Can you be beaten up and tortured? Can you have your beard plucked out? Are you going to be whipped? Are you going to sit there and let them nail you to a cross when you could just snap your fingers and they would disappear? There is a cost to having those things. Salvation is free, but there's a cost if you want to have the blessing. There is a cost if you want to have the power. And there is a cost to having the glory. Let me tell you what happened. And in Acts 9:10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight. And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, and how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. And this is the verse I want you to pay attention. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. If you want to be a chosen vessel, there's going to be a price that comes with it. you want to come out as pure gold, there is a fire you're going to have to go through. There is just no other way. There is no other way. There is a cost to being blessed. There is a cost to having power with God. There is a cost to having glory with God. Here it is. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things. It's not how great things I'm going to bless him with. It's not how great things I'm going to raise him up. It's not how it's how great things he must suffer. Lord, can you choose someone else? Lord, can you please choose someone else? I don't think I want to be that great in the kingdom anymore. Moses didn't want to be in charge of those 2 million rebellious, ignorant Hebrews. He said, Lord, couldn't you please? He started making up excuses. I stutter. But in Acts, it says he was mighty in word and deed. That's a little bit too much blessing, Lord. I don't really want that. I'm giving you the revelation. And I hope you meditate. You want prayers answered. You want miracles. Those are things that can happen if you have counted the cost. Are you prepared to deal with what will happen if God actually does that? If God raises you up? What happened to Paul? What was the result of God using him so mightily? The blessing, the epistles he wrote. What did he have to go through? We'll go back to Paul. But I want to go back to Jesus, who is our example. Because he told those two disciples who want to sit at his left and his right hand, can you drink the cup? When he was in the garden, he said, listen, I don't want to drink the cup. I was about to say something. I'm trying to think of a nice way to say it. When I was in Florida about a month ago, I thought, wow, wouldn't it be nice to stay here? Wow, I could do with 83 degree and this palm trees and this lovely blue water. Do I really have to go back to Milwaukee? Let me say something. Your level of blessing, your level of power, your level of glory is going to be related to how much you're willing to suffer. Ooh, real silent there. Okay. I can understand no one wants to say, amen, bring it on. But that is exactly what Jesus was saying. If any man wants to follow me, let him do what? Deny himself. Pick up his own cross, not somebody else's. Don't look at somebody else's cross. And yet, as soon as we pick up the cross, we start to whine. Oh man, this is terrible. Why think it's strange? The fiery trial, isn't that what the Bible says? Because without the cross, there is no glory. There is no power. The proof is what Jesus said in Matthew 28. When he resurrected, what did he say? All power. How did he get the all power? Through the cross. How are you going to get any power? Through the cross. Are you willing to count the cost? For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Jesus was our example. That's why these prosperity preachers are kind of, I don't know where they get it from. Do this and you'll be a millionaire. No. There's no pain. Just money and blessing. No. No example in scripture of that anywhere. None whatsoever. There is a cost to blessing, a cost to power, and a cost of glory. Let me tell you about what Jesus paid. Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The Bible skips all his growing up years, but I bet you they were not easy. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He wasn't loved by everybody. In fact, everybody was shouting at the end, "Crucify him," spitting on him, throwing things at him. Verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded." You want the power and the glory? It goes through the cross. Have you counted the cost? "He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." There's always a cost. Not to your salvation. But if you want the rest, if you want power, you want to be used by God, you want blessing, you want authority, there is a cost. Isaiah 53, verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," Jesus, "the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and a sheep before his shearers." Now, the Bible says if you suffer as an evildoer, don't complain. You know, if you go break the speed limit and you get a ticket, don't blame that on the devil. You know, you go park in a non-parking spot and you get towed. No one to blame but you. But if you're getting all kinds of satanic attacks, you know, the devil's oppressing your marriage. He's trying to destroy the church. You know why? It's because there's some power, there's some glory, there's some blessing was about to break out. That's what that was about. "He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." You want to be able to say, "I've got some power"? Jesus did not declare, "All power is given unto me," until the resurrection. There was a cost. There was a cup to drink. There was a Calvary to go through. Again, let me explain. When we pray and we ask for a miracle, we're actually asking for power. Jesus gave them power and authority to do what? Cast out devils, heal the sick. But there was a cost. Not one of them except John died a natural death. Why? Because they had to be willing to be completely sold out, willing to say, "God, no matter what it takes, I'm going to step out. I'm going to offend people by preaching your name. I'm going to go to my neighbor and say, 'Do you go to church?'" They may not speak to me again. They may get the city to say, "That guy keeps annoying me." Are you willing to pay the cost? Or do we just want to come to church and then say, "Lord, please do this," but we don't really mean it because we don't want to pay the cost? Sister Audrey used to say to me about paying the toll, right? Here we go. We have to pay the toll. Jesus explained this in terms of this parable of paying taxes in Matthew 17, 24. "And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, 'Doth not your master pay tribute?'" In other words, doesn't Jesus pay taxes? Well, Peter was indignant. He was going to defend Jesus. He said, "Of course." But he had no idea. He was just saying it. Then he came into Jesus, and before he could even open his mouth, Jesus said to him, "What are you thinking, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take taxes or custom? Of their own children or of strangers?" He was making the point of why we're going to have to pay the cost. You know why? We're on enemy territory. He was saying, who do the kings of the earth make pay taxes? Their own children or strangers? Right. And that's why you're going to have to pay the cost, because we're on enemy territory. When we get to our own kingdom, oh no, there won't be no taxes. There will be no penalty. There will be no cost. But while we're down here, there is a cost. So Jesus explains by telling him that there is a cost. And while we're down here, Jesus paid taxes. And he told him where to go to get the fish and everything. And he says, when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, and that take and give unto them for who? For me, Jesus, and you. He was making a point. While we're down here, under the kings of the earth, we're going to have to pay tribute. There will be a cost. The moment God starts to exalt you and bless you, the haters are going to come out. I've been parking my car underneath trucks, looking at the windows, make sure they can't see it from the window office. Now, that may be bad, but I just know human nature. Has he got a new car out there? How does he rate getting a new car? As soon as God blesses you, as soon as Joseph got a new coat, even his brethren hated him. Do you understand why God sometimes doesn't do what you think he ought to do? Because you can't take the pressure yet. You're not willing to pay the cost. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why some of our prayers are not answered, because if the miracle happened, all kinds of other things, side effects, you don't understand what happened, and you're not quite ready to deal with it. You're not ready to deal with it. So Jesus was explaining through this taxes that, yes, while we're down here, we're on enemy territory. That's why there's a cost. So we have to pay the toll. Here it is again in a more English translation. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook, take up the fish that first cometh up. When thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Thou take and give unto them for me and thee. So why is there a cost since Jesus died? Well, I just explained it. The cost for your salvation is free. You don't have to pay for that. But if you then want to work in the kingdom, you want the glory, the honor, the power, there is a cost. Let me go on. Of course, you know this. The cost is hatred. Genesis 27, verse 41. Esau, remember what happened to Jacob? He got the blessing. There was a cost to that. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. In Genesis 37, 5, Joseph dreamed a dream and he told his brothers, and they hated him yet the more. In Luke 21, 17, Jesus makes it plain. And ye shall be what? Man, they're really on me at work. I just don't understand why they're so on me. Why are you surprised? What did this word say? Ye shall be hated. Because you're not going to go to the bar with them? Who do you think you are? Are you better than us? Not really, but he is, and he lives in me. Amen. Must have some reason, some difference. If the world hates you, ye shall know that it hated me before it hated you. Let me say it again. If you want the power, the glory, and the blessing, there is a cost. Shall I tell you what the cost is? Suffering. The amount of power, the amount of glory, the amount of blessing is going to be determined by how much you're willing to suffer. Isn't that what the word said? In this life you shall have, but I have, be of good cheer. I have overcome. Let me tell you why it's worth it. Because what's to come is so much greater than this little present suffering. What's to come is so much greater than whatever you think you're going through. See, what I'm telling you tonight explains why they have such big miracles in places where they have nothing. And they're already suffering. Because you know why? There's not much the devil can do to someone who has no car, no house, no land, no money, no food. So they go and Jesus blesses them because there's not much the devil can do. But we're afraid of losing something. So we're not prepared to go all out. And so we risk not receiving the blessing. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why you hear of these. They go to Africa, they go to India, and thousands get miraculous. It's because they have nothing at the beginning. So they're not afraid to really say, Lord, whatever it costs. Because the only thing they got left is their life. And so you know what happens? God gives it to them. But we here, because we're like the Laodicean church, we say we are rich. And we're in need of nothing. The Bible says, but I want you to buy of me what? Gold. How did the gold make? Tried in the fire. There's no other way. You want power with God. Now, when I'm saying this, my flesh is getting scared because I know what I'm saying. I have 20/20 to face. And if I'm declaring this, I know the devil's listening too. He's going to say, okay, I see where you're going with this. Am I prepared to pay the cost? I want to get on my knees and say, yes, Lord. I want to be like Paul and say, whatever thou wilt. Whatever you want, God, because I want to be used of God in 2020. I want the power and the glory, not for selfish reasons, but to honor him, to be used of him, so that people will be converted. But God is not prepared to do that when we're not prepared to risk anything. If the world hates you, he know that it hated me before it hated you. What's the cost? Suffering. This is Paul. Great Apostle Paul. Here's what it cost him to be the great Apostle Paul. Speaking of others, he says, for are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths more oft. He said he was killed. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 lashes. His back must have been all tore up and scarred. Just one time, 39 lashes would scar you up. He said he received 39 lashes 5 times. That's a cost. You want to be able to be great like Paul, get great revelation, have dead people come back to life? Are you willing to pay the cost? In prisons more frequent, in deaths off of the Jews of 5 times I received 40 stripes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, where the devil just said, I'm not dealing with anybody else. I'm just coming after you directly. I'm not even going to use people this time. I'm just going to wreck your ship. I'm going to wreck your car. You're going to get a flat and get an accident. You know what the devil's trying to do? Take away your joy, make you give up. But listen, with great suffering can come great blessing, great power, and great glory. Because when that happens, and you can do like David, go to church and still worship. Ooh, my child just died, but I'm in church worshiping. I'm giving God the glory. That's why God called David a man after his own heart. Not because he was perfect, but he was willing to pay the price. In journeyings, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils of false brethren. That was Paul's cost for us to call him the great Apostle Paul, a servant of the living God. You think you're tired and going through stuff? In weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger. He said he was in hunger. In thirst, in fastings often, not just at the beginning of the year. Paul goes on to say, in cold and nakedness. He had to send a letter, please bring me my old coat. I need it. If you could stand with me. I know this hasn't been shouting, but I'm giving you a revelation tonight. I'm giving you a revelation. Each and every single one of us, each and every single one of us, I firmly believe this, in 2020, can have God's blessing, can have the power, can have the glory. But it will only happen if we're willing to count the cost. First scripture I read, Jesus said, nobody goes to build a tower before he first sits down, counts out the cost. You want that? Do you want that? Do you want God to use you? Do you want to lay hands on the sick and they recover? Do you want when you pray for people, miracles happen? Come on, I expect more people to say yes. Did I scare you? Because let me tell you, there is so much more. I'm going to skip some of this because I want to go to the good part. Is it worth it? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy. What I'm trying to tell you, there's nothing down here that God is going to not repay you 100-fold. I'm going to skip all of this. For what is it man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm skipping through this because it's gone 8 o'clock. For some people, the cost is too great. For the young ruler, we never know his name because the cost was too great. He comes to church and he says, I want to be saved. And then he's told, you got to give up this. You can't go get drunk. You can't go cavorting. You got to give up illicit sex. You got to give up drugs. You got to give up your addiction. And he goes away sorrowful. When Jesus heard these things, he said, one thing thou lackest, sell all that thou hast and distribute to the poor. Cost was too much for him. Nope, I can't do that. Tonight I'm asking you to count. You want this in 2020? You can have it. You can have blessings. I'm telling you this with all the revelation that God gave. You can have it in 2020. Let me say it again. God has got miracles in this place. He's got revelation. He's got healing. But it will only come if you have a totally committed, made up mind. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, because they were following him for what he had done. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, he means be willing to give them up. And children, and brethren and sisters, yea, and here's the crux, and his own life, you cannot be his disciple. Most of us come to church, and I don't know if we're willing to do that. He cannot be my disciple. Let me say it again. Unless you're willing to lay down your life, Jesus said, you cannot be his disciple. That is where the real rubber meets the road. So all the other stuff I am complaining about, let me put it in my words, complaining about is nothing. In the book of Revelations, the people who made it through it said they love not their life to the death. Are you prepared to pay the cost? If any man come to me and hate not, that means if you're not willing to even give up family, mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, you cannot be my disciple. That's the true cost. But if you're willing to go that far, I am guaranteeing you in 2020, God is going to pour out so much on you. You will be used so powerfully. There will be such divine inspiration. This church will be packed out that we would have to go to 3 services. But there is a cost. You're going to get attacked. You're going to get things happen. God told Ananias, you see, I've chosen Paul. He's a chosen vessel. I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer. But at the end of his life, he said, I fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And there is now laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But not for me only. He lets it out for all of us who are willing to do the same thing. We're going to close this Bible study. And again, I know it's not a shouting one, but there's a profound truth, a revelation in what I'm telling you about how you get your prayers truly answered. You have to be willing to say, Lord, I want the miracle, but I'm willing to pay the cost of what that entails. And if we're willing to do that, it'll happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts and your heads with me. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Let this word edify. Let it bless. Let it not depress. But Lord, let us look for it and have a made up mind, a determination, Lord, that we're going to do your will in 2020, that we're going to go forward, hallelujah, with the power and the glory resting upon us. Lord, that we submit our will to you, and whatever the cost, even to our own life, Lord, that we are not going to let the devil scare us. We are not going to be afraid, hallelujah, but we are going to do your will. We thank you right now for the blessing, for the glory and the power in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering tonight. Come on, give God a praise offering. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. God bless you. Come on out Thursday night. We will be having corporate prayer. Amen. And I'm telling you, 2020, if you're willing to pay the price, God has got something great for you. God bless you in Jesus' name.